Hello, this is Chris Vandilli. I'm the founder of Pro From Go Internet Marketing. We're a creative marketing agency based in Pittsburgh, PA, offering services on web design and development, mobile application design and development for iPhones and Android operating systems, search engine optimization, and other forms of digital advertising. Today, we're talking with Mr. Bill Castile. He's a 30-year veteran of the video production industry. He has experience in directing, editing, and doing post-production edits on video. He's done special effects for movies, television commercials for lots of different companies, and does some fantastic work. You can see a highlight reel of some of his projects on the website at profromgo.com under web video production. So, Bill, over the last week or two, I've had several client inquiries and meetings talking about corporate video and the use of video and video SEO to help promote a video online and get more exposure and traffic and kind of deliver your message. So I wanted to chat with you today a little bit, bounce some ideas and questions off of you to help listeners get the perfect corporate video.
Oh, hi, Chris, by the way. Well, you know, I think that there's a number of questions that a given company has to ask themselves when it comes to video, especially because it is a longer process than something that's written, and you're basically, you know, getting the information together, putting it into some kind of a word form, where it can be edited easily, quickly, inexpensively, and with one or two people involved. Video is generally a little more complex, so your planning has to be a little more diligent. I think that, you know, the first items that come to bear are exactly what you're trying to accomplish with the video. You need to have a good end goal in place so that you're always moving forward towards the same place. If there's multiple people involved at a corporate level that have different visions, that can lead to distraction and watering down the intended message, or the intended needed message. So I think really good planning and vision on the part of a corporate or a business that wants to produce a video, you need to have that in place before you start with anything, whether you're doing it yourself or hiring someone to do it for you.
Okay, cool. That actually segues right into my first question. I just have about a half dozen questions here I wanted to try to get through with you in a reasonable amount of time here so you can get back to whatever you had cooking today. The first thing, actually, you kind of touched upon, what are some of the key points that, you know, a marketing manager or business owner should consider when they're first getting into those early stages of planning or preparing to shoot either a corporate video or an informational video or something educational in nature that they want to use in a web application by, you know, putting that video on their website or their blog or somewhere online?
Sure. Well, I mean, once you have a clear vision of what your goal is, then you start asking the questions, what's the best way to get there? And you have to ask yourself, is this product does the demonstration of the product itself need to be shown? Or is this something that's more theoretical, where it's more of an idea that you're trying to explain, such as an investment firm or a legal firm that may want to get messages out there that relate to their business specifically, as opposed to a manufacturer that may be making a product that wants to show either how it's made or what it does. Once you have a clear vision, I think that those questions of what you're going to shoot and where you're going to shoot it relate to the business in general. If you're going to be discussing ideas or philosophies, then you know, who's going to be on camera, where are you going to shoot it? I think those are some of the first questions. Who's going to handle the audio? Is it going to be somebody in-house or somebody that you're going to bring in to help with that part of the proposition? Because sound is very important, and you have to have someone. You just can't use generally a video camera and the mic that's on the camera because it will sound very echoey. So you want to have an external microphone of some kind, whether it's a shotgun microphone or a lavalier microphone, and that would lend itself to a much clearer, warmer sounding voice than an echoey, distant voice, which lends credibility to the person speaking. If you're shooting a product or a service that you're showing an application, then, you know, where you're going to shoot it, and is it going to be handled by a voiceover that's describing what we're seeing, or is there going to be somebody on camera describing what we're seeing and sharing those views? There are advantages to doing it either way. A voiceover can be adjusted many times after the shoot has happened, whereas somebody obviously on camera, once it's there, it's there. The upside of shooting with someone on camera is you have less footage you have to shoot because you're getting the personality of the person explaining it, and you're getting their credibility in explaining it. So you have less B-roll, less secondary coverage shots that you have to shoot, so it takes less time. But again, the downside is that, you know, once they're on camera and they're speaking, you can't really go back and change the script or change the idea after the fact during post-production because you have what you have. So those are the two kind of, in general, concepts where you have someone that's describing a concept and or an idea and asking questions and relating their experiences or their product from their services as a professional, such as an attorney, or someone that's a manufacturer and has a need to show either the process of making their product or how their product works.
That makes a lot of sense. And one of the key points you touched on was audio and how important that is in web video. And, you know, I've noticed time and time again coming across, you know, existing clients that have a little bit of video they try to do themselves or seeing just, you know, just browsing the web in general, coming across videos, you immediately notice that no matter what type of visuals are being presented in the video, if the audio quality is poor, it really dilutes the message and hurts the overall effectiveness of the video, especially when people are, you know, using like a cheap little flip cam and they're just relying on the camera's microphone. I've seen that in action. I totally agree with you there. And that kind of leads me into my next question. What kind of equipment should people have at a minimum if they're going to try to do this to themselves? And then how does that compare against the type of equipment that you would use, which I would probably consider as being, you know, professional grade, top of the line type stuff? And then if someone were to want to, you know, use the same caliber of equipment that you use, what would they expect to have to pay to rent or buy it?
Well, those are good questions. I've seen people get decent results with a standard video camera as long as it has an external mic jack that you can then go and get a better microphone and plug it in. So there are possibilities of using a consumer camera, so to speak. And you can spend anywhere between $600 to $1,000 for something like that. And it'll shoot HD, and the picture will look okay. And for some intents and purposes, it might be enough. But then again, you have to make sure that the camera is going to give you the file format that you may need, because you're going to have to edit no matter what. You never could edit in a camera. It doesn't work. If you're expecting to be able to do that, I've seen professionals that have failed miserably trying to edit something together by shooting it in camera and thinking they're getting the right points at the right time. It just doesn't happen. So there are ways to go and use consumer cameras, and it's definitely a possibility, and in some likelihoods, based on budget, it may have to happen that way. And then supply maybe an editor the footage you have and have someone else put it together for you. That's a possibility as well. But when it comes to something a little more professional, I'm not using the best cameras in the market. I mean, you can spend upwards of $100,000 to $150,000 on a camera, and there's really no need for that for a web video, unless you're really creating some kind of a branding video that you want to have very warm and fuzzy, and you want to have an extremely high-end look of film that you see in a theater. I'm using DSLRs, Canon and Nikon both make very good DSLRs, digital cameras that you can go and buy for $1,500 to $2,500. Then you've got to buy lenses on top of that. But that's the kind of camera that I use, and I have a multitude of lenses and different kinds of setup equipment and wireless microphones that allow me to shoot very high-quality images that are still very cost-effective. And then there's a step in between where you can you can go and rent a $5,000 or a $10,000 camera for around $500 or $600 a day. That can give you even a higher quality. And those are out there, but you're going to have a camera operator that knows that camera, because as you get higher in quality, you also get higher in complexity. And there are, you know, everybody has a camera, they go shoot pictures of their kids. Well, there's a reason why there's someone that can shoot a picture of your child and it looks beautiful, and when you take a picture, it looks flat. And having a good eye and understanding composition and understanding focal length and what you're trying to accomplish with a certain kind of lens all relate to the end product. I mean, you're trying to invigorate someone to be aware of your service or of your product. And the image that you're showing them comes to you by, you know, the way of the right kind of camera and the right kind of setup to give you a look that's appealing, that the public is either used to from seeing it on something on TV or have grown accustomed to seeing it in a theater. So, you know, your controls on a low-end camera or consumer camera are very simplistic. There are some ways to get messaging done that way. Sometimes you don't need something to look necessarily great. But at the same time, in my experiences, I've obviously not seen that to be the case. Generally, people want things to keep looking better and better and better. So, you know, I think that there's always a place in the market for both. But if you're looking for, there's artistry involved in the way you shoot something. And, you know, not everybody has a good eye. And that's something that, you know, you can also learn in time. But most people don't have the time to do that. So a professional in a lot of ways will help you with those issues and those problems.
Okay, that actually kind of answered my next question as well, where I was kind of curious about how important the actual equipment is to getting, you know, the perfect end result, you know, in the form of your actual video. So I'll kind of gloss over that one since you kind of delved into that pretty good for us and covered it. How much time is involved in the next step? So I would assume like phase one is kind of planning, phase two is the video capture or the shoot, and I think the next phase, correct me if I'm wrong, will be the post-production. So what are some of the options and considerations and the type of investment of time that's involved in post-production? And tell us a little bit about your skills and the skills necessary to do some really high-quality post-production work on those video files once you've gotten to that step in the process in order to get the, you know, the perfect end result to go on your website.
Sure. Yeah, that's actually a lot of ground to cover from start to finish post-production, and the options in between are vast. I think that, you know, obviously once you have a goal and what you want to accomplish, the most important step and one that people constantly, you know, change too late in the process is a script. You need to have either a writer or someone within your organization prepare a script that everybody approves before you start to shoot. If you're changing the script after you shoot, you're going to run into additional costs. Whether you're doing it yourself, you're going to run into additional time, or if you've hired someone, the cost will go up because their time will get more involved. If you're actually changing the script after you've shot and you're in the post-production and changing things, the costs even go up that much more. So really having a good approved script is extremely important. Now, if you're producing a video that is someone speaking about an idea or a concept, it's not a product, and you really are talking about, you know, capturing someone's flow of consciousness, then a script really isn't necessary as much as here are a line of questions we want to follow and here are the progression of answers we want to try to capture. And then in post-production, we'll put all that together and not have to rely on a script that's going to describe what's happening or what we're seeing. So that's another method of doing it. But whatever you're going to do, you need to have that outline or script in place before you do anything. Once you have the script or the idea in place, then you can start to decide if shooting is something that you want to take on, or is it something that you want to shop out to someone who does that. and you can, and with a script in hand or an idea in hand, and a you know, basically a short outline of what you're trying to accomplish, you can go out and get bids on what other people will charge you to do what you're trying to do. So I think that that's a real necessary step to go and call, you know, multiple companies and say, hey, I have a video I want to produce. How much do you charge? Well, charge for what? I mean, it's just too ambiguous. You need to have, I'll send you a script. Tell me what your cost would be to produce that script. People will relate to that and understand it and get back to you relatively quickly. So, again, script and idea is really, really the most important thing you can ever do. And it'll also help you decide as a client, you know, what you're trying to accomplish towards that goal yet again. So once you've got a script, once you've got an idea, you prepare the location of where you're going to shoot. You've got to figure that out, if it's going to be an office or is it somewhere where you want to take the office out of the message, and you want to put them in something a little more contemporary or a little more outdoors. It really depends on how the message is going to be delivered and why. And once you've decided on a location, then you plan your shoot, who needs to be there. If you're shooting in HD and you want to keep quality, do you need someone for makeup? Because, you know, HD shows a lot of flaws in people, and you may want someone there to touch up. You know, a makeup artist can run you anywhere between $250 and $450 a day. So that's an expense that's, whether you want to choose to do it or not, it's one that you might want to consider. Once you've got your, you know, if you need an audio person, you need a secondary grip or someone that's going to do gaffing, lighting, and what a gear, you know, what location you're shooting in, how much do you need to light it? Is there lighting, enough lighting there to capture it, or do you need to bring lighting in? And if you do, you may want to do a location scout with a gaffer and or the director of the shoot, the camera guy, and find out, you know, is this going to be enough, or do I need to add something to make this pop more? So you've done a location scout, you've seen where you want to shoot, and you set up the day of shooting, you go, your crew's there, and you shoot the concept or the script that you have, and now you've got your assets on basically a hard drive or a digital card that saves both audio and video onto a storage device. Once you've got that, then you're going to take that into some kind of editing software. If you have something within or someone within your company or that they can handle that, okay, you can work from those files and basically cut and paste it together. But generally, that's a pretty high-end piece of work to deal with. There are thousands of solutions to editing, but there's not that many great ones. And you want to have flexibility. You want to be able to enhance what you're seeing, either by improving the color that was shot and adjusting those scenes after the fact, as well as adding graphics, motion graphics, maybe animation, maybe some kind of special effect that's showing a transformation of a product from one position to another or one level of production to another level of production, because you want to, you know, compress time so that you're obviously not showing a process that takes 8 hours. You're showing it in, you know, 10 seconds. So maybe you want some kind of effect to help that along. You know, there's a variety of programs out there to do those things, and each one of them has their own specialties. Professionals are, they're in that business to learn and continue learning the newest versions and the newest plugins and the newest levels of software that are available and allow for the most flexibility in creating the end product. And I think that's telling a story is an editor's job as well, and knowing the software where they can make that story come to life is what really separates the layperson from the professional, and how fast they can do it and sense the needs to get that end goal as presented as possible, as magnified as possible. So, you know, I don't know if I haven't seen much editorial that's been done on from a layperson's point of view that's been all that effective. You know, there's only so much, You know, most people's attention spans for video, the most high attention span is probably around 7 minutes. But it depends on the content. If the content is driven and there's interesting points of view that are being added, and there's enough motion in the camera, and there's enough motion in the editorial version of what's being done to create more dramatics, then the attention span can be lengthened. So being aware of all of those things, a lot of late period persons that don't do it all the time aren't really aware of that. So they'll end up producing a 20-minute video that someone turns off in 3 minutes because it's just not, you know, it's just not conveying the message with the dramatics that's needed to get it there. So an editorial can make or break you. Again, I go back to the beginning. You don't want to make changes once you get to edit the edit process, because if you do, there's going to be a viability in the way you shoot something, and you want to maintain that in the editorial process. But that's where you enhance it. You don't change it. You enhance it. You make it better. Make it convey the message stronger. And so that's, I don't know if that answered all of your question, but it's the best I can do.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I understand that there's a lot of things to consider. And, you know, just in chatting with you here for a few minutes, it's very evident that, you know, it would be super beneficial to at least do a consultation with someone with your level of experience, because you can really draw out some of those ideas that people might have and then tell them what's involved as far as, you know, either budgetary concerns or constraints, time and manpower inputs to kind of get that desired result and kind of steer people based on your expertise and experience, which is, very educational, I guess I could say. So you definitely covered some of the nuances of post-production, some of the considerations that people should probably plan for. And what I've seen consistently throughout the call today is it's really important to make sure you have your end goal and your script set in place and in mind throughout this entire process to kind of get that consistency throughout, and then enhance it through each phase and at each level is kind of the way I am envisioning what you're describing to me. So I've had the chance to dabble with a few of those different softwares that you've mentioned, and I can't imagine the learning curve on one of the complex and high-end cameras that you use, but I have a slight grasp of what the learning curve is like trying to wrap your head around something like, you know, Adobe After Effects or some of the other higher-end video software. And it's definitely designed for someone who has a lot of time on their hands, I can say, because, you know, there's, like you said, there's just so many plugins and add-ons and things you can add to those softwares to get different special effects or, add in different features to the video that it can be a real rabbit hole to run down, which, you know, some business owners are in the position where they have more time than money and they want to try to do it themselves, and these are things for them to explore. But there's other business owners who, you know, like to focus on what drives revenue in their business, and they'd rather just, you know, call in the top guns for this sort of thing, which is, it's very clear that you actually might save them money throughout the process by eliminating so much time in that learning curve with not only the camera but the post-production and how to plan the shoot and make sure everything goes off without a hitch on the first try. Being that you have that level of experience and you've been doing this for so long, I mean, I would imagine that you've probably seen, edited, and produced thousands and thousands of hours of video footage. What are some of the common mistakes or pitfalls that you see, you know, in your daily travels on the Internet when you come across web video? What are some of the things that just kind of scream at you that the layperson might miss to kind of help anyone planning on trying to do this themselves or even plan on shopping out a video production gig? You know, what are some of the things they should keep in mind to avoid those big everyday mistakes or pitfalls that you might see that kind of throw everything off, and or maybe subtle in nature or maybe glaring? But I basically would like to know about the things that your eye tends to catch when you're watching web video that others might miss that could be done better.
I think that there's a kind of saying I always use, flavor to taste, and basically that's what everyone's eye appreciates and likes to see and is comfortable seeing. And, you know, I think that, you know, in shooting especially, there's things a layperson can avoid that hurts the person watching it and they get kind of turned off by what they're seeing. One is having someone close to a wall that would be behind them, and you might see shadows from lights on the wall, or just a blank white wall behind someone with maybe a corner of a desk or a table somewhere in the scene. It just looks really badly framed and very flat. I always like to try to create some kind of depth behind the person speaking. It just it draws your attention to the person speaking more so than creating this flat billboard that there's really no attention anywhere. I hate the use of the proverbial green plant somewhere in the scene. It just looks 1970. So I like to try to find something that's clean and looks good. It can be, if it's a conference room, you hopefully have some windows or some window treatments that can dress up the scene a little bit. You pull the person maybe 10 or 15 feet away from that window so that the window is softer. It's a little bit out of focus, or a lot of out of focus, hopefully, behind them. So you're creating this vignette of reality of the person compared to the reality of the location they're in is much softer and not as defined. I think that's a simple solution to make something look better and feel better when you're seeing the message being delivered. If you're shooting in a factory or a process or a manufacturing plant, I think that additional lighting is almost always required. You don't want the area that you're shooting, if it's a machine, to see the shadows inside the machine. You don't want to see the machine highlighted in front of you and then all of the background falls off to darkness. It just doesn't look good. It just doesn't draw your attention to the right places for the right reasons. I just think that, the most important thing is when you're looking at the viewfinder in the camera, whatever camera you're using, you kind of imagine yourself sitting at home watching television and saying to yourself, would I watch this at home? And if it looks boring, trust me, it is boring. If it looks contrived, trust me, it is contrived. So, I think that everybody has tastes, and you flavor your tastes for an image based on your experience of watching television at home, and find different things behind the person that can help make them pop out a little bit, help make them stand out a little bit. And if all of a sudden your image starts to look a little better because you've changed the lighting or changed the background scene a little bit or brought something in and then it's so out of focus, it's just soft, it's almost like a vignette, and now it starts to feel and look a little better, and honestly, that's a great idea is, before you shoot, for the week or so leading up to your shoot, watch some television shows and see where the focuses are. See where what's in focus, what's out of focus. See what depth is behind the people that are on camera. And get a sense of that. And bring that knowledge that you see every day with you on the shoot. And it'll help you lay out and design your scene better.
Yeah, that's some really useful advice from someone with that, eagle eye for video. Such as yourself, it's kind of fascinating to hear about the little things that most people just don't see, and how your eye kind of becomes seasoned after watching so many of these videos and actually producing, directing, and editing these videos, where just a subtle tweak in the person's position within the room can make the entire video much more engaging. That definitely kind of emphasizes the need to have someone like you with that level of experience involved in this process to get a great finished product. Did you have anything else on your punch list for us to cover, Bill, that I didn't get a chance to touch upon with my questions, or any other final words of wisdom?
Well, I think that, the one, kind of elephant in the room is always how much does something cost, and where's the value in that cost? And I really, I really believe that if you're, if you've got a product or a service or some kind of message that will improve your business by getting it out there, Video has a much more lasting effect on the consumer that could be your client than any other form of marketing. It's more informative. People are seeing either the process or the sincerity in someone, or the process of the manufacturing process. The level of communication is so much higher with video compared to anything else. And it's proven in many, many surveys. The amount of time that someone spends on a website is vastly improved by adding video. I think that there's a reason for that, and I think it's because you can express and show and offer so much more visually and audio-wise that someone gets the message and gets what you're doing, what you're selling, what you're marketing through video. So I think that the cost has to be measured as opposed to what other costs might be out there for other kinds of marketing. And while there is a more complex nature to this, and there's a lot more moving parts to video, no pun intended, but, you know, you're shooting 30 frames a second. If you have 30-second commercials, 900 frames, that's 900 still pictures, and every one should be painted a certain way. And if you're doing a two-minute video or a five-minute video, you have to think about all of the process that goes into creating that. And in the end, what is the outcome? What have you accomplished, and how can you use it, both on the web? Can it be a video on demand through a cable company? There's a lot of ways and places to use that video. And it can be multi-purpose. You can shoot an overall video that explains your product or your service, and then pare it down, edit it down to something smaller that you put on your splash page. And then if they want to go further, they can go and click on that link and go see a more robust version of that video. So there's a variety of ways to use that footage and that mentality to accomplish your goal. And I think that your cost has to be considered in what your end result's going to be. And there's really no way to say how much per minute does it cost to produce something. How much per minute did it cost to produce the Titanic special effect or any given commercial you see on TV or any television show you see on TV. There's so many different levels of production, it's impossible to say how much is that going to cost per minute. But if you have a script, you can get pretty close and conceptually be able to talk about the possibilities and the ideas behind conveying that message and then give you a range of costs that would fit or make sense to what you're doing. And, of course, if you have a budget, that can be figured into what you're trying to accomplish. Because you sure don't want to go and spend your money and end up with something that doesn't function or doesn't have success. You want to have results. And those results really come down to planning on both sides, whether it's the client or the production company or the post-production company.
I'm really glad you brought that up. You touched on the marketing effectiveness and usefulness of video. You kind of touched upon the budget, and I know that it's probably quite frequent where a client's expectations don't quite match their budget, so I can see where it would be very helpful to kind of have an idea of at least a rough figure for a budget going in, where rather than saying, you know, what's this going to cost me, if you can get the general vision or idea from a potential client or your customer and then get an idea of their budget, you can basically custom craft a proposal and say, well, here's what I suggest, so you can get the most bang for your buck. I like that approach. And I can really relate when it comes to web design and web development. You know, there's $500 websites and there's $500,000 websites. And it really all comes down to, you know, the amount of attention to detail and the manpower that goes on into getting the desired look and feel, and not only that, the desired functionality, so that, you know, it serves its purpose, which is the ultimate goal of whether it's a website or a video. And what's so interesting to me nowadays with video is the applications it has for assisting with search engine optimization, because you mentioned how, people tend to stay on a website longer when there's video. People tend to click on websites where they know they can watch a video. So with some of the new things you can do with video SEO, it's actually possible to get a thumbnail of your video right in the search results page. So, you know, say someone should search for Pittsburgh plumber, they see 10 results. One of those results has a video thumbnail where you can see that you can watch a video about that particular plumber. The click-through rate is most likely going to be driven up as a result of having video on that page and having the video SEO factors in place so that that thumbnail is read by the search engines and appears. And not only that, once someone hits that page, they're obviously going to have a much better bounce rate, which is another measurement taken by the search engines, where people are more likely to stick around and watch that video because, you know, in a 30-second video, like you mentioned, you're getting 900 frames or 900 images. That's a lot to pack into one little piece of internet real estate, which is so much more engaging, where it really sucks people in and kind of keeps them on the page, which is another search engine factor. So these things go fantastic together. Getting a great web video from the, you know, through the planning to the capture to the post-production to the finished product, and then sprinkling in some of the video SEO services we can provide. It's really a great win-win situation for any client that considers those options. Phil, I want to thank you for your time today. I want to let any listeners know that you can visit profromgo.com and check out our web video production page to see more information about these services. And also, I'm going to post this interview for streaming and download on the blog. So, Bill, thanks again for taking the time. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to working with you soon on some video projects.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it too, Chris. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay. We'll speak soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.